America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life, call his wife and 405. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Got you for another hour. Take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Talking a little football. We were coming off Monday night football as the Chiefs go to 8-0. Todd Bowles not showing guts and going for it to win the game with a 2-point conversion at the end of it. They get beat by a touchdown in overtime. And this Kansas City Chiefs team just can't be denied. 8-0. They haven't even played well yet. Hopkins is here now. Scores a touchdown in this game. You know that dynamic is only going to get better. And it felt like there was a time to get the Chiefs. You know, Mahomes had more interceptions than touchdowns. Kelce wasn't doing anything. It's a carbon copy of last year. Although they lost some games last year. But it's a carbon copy. And it just feels like waiting on someone to show they could beat this juggernaut that is the Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes show and the Kansas City Chiefs. Talked a little bit about that. Talked about the Giants and their, in my mind, stupidity for continuing to play the quarterback. It makes no sense. It's time to move on from Daniel Jones. It's time to avoid worst case scenario of him getting hurt and being on this team next year, under contract next year, which if you're unaware, his contract has an injury clause. If he ends the season on IR, then his contract triggers for next year, and there's nothing the Giants can do about it. There's ways to get out of the contract, obviously, if that doesn't happen. And with this team being 2-7, playing a very important game on Sunday in Germany, a very important game for the Giants to lose. It's time to move on from this quarterback, end it. Trade every piece you can by the end of the deadline here. And go about the bottoming out this franchise desperately needs, and to impact him with the draft. So I don't understand the Giants' thought process. I don't understand why Daniel Jones is starting. And this better be the last one. The only thing I could possibly think of is they don't want to throw one of these quarterbacks, whether it be Locke or Tommy DeVito, into the deep end on a week where they're going to Germany, traveling like this. Maybe with a bye next week off of this trip to Germany, you have an extra week to instill a game plan and get the quarterback a full 2 weeks of working with the number one team. And, you know, maybe that's what they're waiting for, but it no longer makes sense. The Daniel Jones era is over. This Giant team is inept. And if this coach and GM, who are lucky, as Eddie just told you, lucky to be keeping their jobs, if they are keeping their jobs, deserve everything they get if Daniel Jones gets hurt this week and is on this team next year, instead of being able to move forward, they'll be stuck with a contract that just is difficult to navigate around. And especially if you're going to draft a quarterback. 888-808-1019. Then we talked a lot about the Gerrit Cole situation, obviously. And really just the rebuild, you know, how to build these two teams. Hot stove fully underway. The GM meetings in San Antonio, Texas. We heard from Brian Cashman. We heard from David Stearns in the New York Mets. The qualifying offers have been put out. And I think it's telling for the New York Yankees. I think it is a I think there are two guys who we weren't sure about with the New York Yankees moving forward. And it was Anthony Rizzo on some level, just because his veteran nature, his relationship with the captain, Aaron Judge, what they could do at first base. It feels like they're moving on from him and not giving Gleyber the qualifying offer, despite the second half he had, despite the postseason he had. They are still afraid he would take a one-year, $22 million deal. So unless he's willing to take a hell of a lot less than that, and I think on the open market he'll probably get somewhere around there, and obviously a multi-year deal at his age, I think not even giving Gleyber Torres the qualifying offer indicates where the Yankees are headed with Gleyber Torres. His Yankee career is most likely over. And again, that's probably an overall good thing, because as we've talked about, Joe Kelly's willing to tell everybody they are a poor defensive team, a poor base running team, and Gleyber Torres is at the front of both of those. A very sloppy player that, unfortunately for him, as great as he was offensively, and he was, it's hard to knock him with the way he played August, September, certainly, even the end of July, and then into the postseason. He was a beast in the leadoff spot. He was great for them. But ultimately, what I'll remember from the postseason is not handling that ball and allowing Ohtani to get to third base, which set up a tying run on a sacrifice fly and helped cause the Yankees to lose game one. Much like Judge is known for the drop fly ball, Cole, despite only giving up one run in 12-plus innings in World Series play and winning Game 4 against the Royals, he will be known for not covering first base. That's what happens when you lose the World Series in that kind of manner and you do it to yourself, and then you allow every, you know, loser on every winning team to try and settle scores in the media and dump on you. That's on them. And we'll see what the Yankee game plan is. He's away for Juan Soto. But the Cole situation was very interesting because, it's amazing. I don't know if I ever remember something like this happened. Pretty much what happened was, and we talked about this for a year now, and a lot of people were unaware the Yankees had the ability to wipe out this clause. Everyone knew, he's got an opt-out clause. He's going to opt out. The Yankees won't even have Cole or Soto next year. Like, so many people were saying that. And it's like, no, all the Yankees have to do is add a last year, a final year to his contract, add another fifth year at $36 million, and the opt-out becomes null and void. So don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And then this year happened, and so much happened, and the injury happened, and his numbers declined a little bit, and he certainly didn't have anywhere near the year he had last year when he won the Cy Young. And suddenly it was, well, will he even opt out? And if he does, could you let him go? And so you were a little surprised that he opted out, maybe. But to have him opt out, and then to have it really blow up in his face and his agent's face, really more even Boris, because I think Cole comes out as the guy who did what his agent told him and then said to his agent, look, I'm not messing around. I want to be a Yankee. And Brian Cashman told him, and he told us in the media at to reporters at the GM meetings that are underway or getting started today in San Antonio, that they were uncomfortable as an organization. The Yankees were uncomfortable adding a fifth year at $36 million to Cole's contract, and they were willing to play chicken with Cole and the great Scott Boras. And Scott Boras, whether he looked at the landscape of Major League Baseball and looked at the free agent market and had an idea of where the contract was going to go, or if it was just Cole saying, I want to be a Yankee, forget this whole thing. He pulled the George Costanza and pretended he never quit. He just showed up the next day and said, yeah, that opt out. Did I really even opt out? I don't even remember filing the paperwork, to be totally honest with you. So the Yankees agreed to sign him to a contract, the exact same deal that he would have had 4 years left of his contract at $144 million. And it's another L for Scott Boras. And my only concern about that, because I love giving Scott Boras L's. Last offseason was great if you're a baseball fan who for years been watching Scott Boras, you know. And again, I don't know why anybody cares whether the money goes to the players or the owners, but Scott Boras pulling this crap and being the super agent and having all these puns at his press conference. He has his own press conference at the GM meetings and everything, and it was just like, it was nice to see him get his comeuppance once. But now you got that offseason where everything failed him. You got the beginning of this year where he gets embarrassed by Brian Cashman on some level with this Gerrit Cole thing, and now you're just thinking he is determined to get every last ounce out of this Juan Soto contract, because this is his last, this is the ultimate trump card, pardon the pun, to get his final win off of what's been an ugly year for him. So We'll find out what happens, but the Yankees will have Gerrit Cole, and we await Juan Soto. We'll see what else they do. There are many options. Tomorrow I'm on for 5 hours. We'll get into building both of these teams under different scenarios, whether they get Juan Soto or not, as obviously I believe, as many do, that it's going to come down to the Mets and Yankees. I do not think any other team is serious. I don't think he'll go to Toronto, although I'm sure they're willing to give him a lot of money, as they were Ohtani. I don't think he's going to go to the Cubs. I don't think he's going to go to the Giants. I don't think he's going to go anywhere else. I don't think he's going to go to the Dodgers. I think it comes down to the Yankees and Mets. So we'll do a little bit more tomorrow on a five-hour midnight ride, as we will be in full-fledged GM meeting. We'll obviously have the NFL trade deadline. We'll have a lot to get to tomorrow at midnight. 888-808-1019. But let's get to your calls now. Maury and Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. What is going on? How are you?
Three things. Glaber, if we give him an offer, don't we get like a pick or something?
The qualifying offer. If you give a player the qualifying offer, like the Yankees gave Juan Soto, like the Mets gave Pete Alonso and Severino and Manaea, if you give them the qualifying offer of 1 year, and I think this year, every year the money's a little different, it goes up, but this year it's just under $23 million. They could either take the 1 year $23 million contract, or if they decline it and they end up signing with another team, you get draft compensation. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
But so that's the fear, right. the reason they did not give it to Gleyber Torres is they're fearful he'll take it, and they have no interest in having a 1 year $22 million contract to Gleyber Torres.
Yep. And you put Chaz second base, and you figure out what to do at third, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's one. I 100%. If Juan Soto is not a Yankee, if Juan Soto is a Yankee, the Yankees do have more options internally throughout their organization at second base than third. So if they're hamstrung by money because they gave $700 million to, and again, they shouldn't be hamstrung by money, but if they view themselves as hamstrung by money after giving Soto that enormous contract, I think there's a decent chance Jazz stays at third and they bring up one of their several prospects to give a look at second base.
Yep. I like it. Okay, so that's that. Cole, fine, taking that, I think it's a good move. I think last year what happened with Boris was, I think the GMs boxed him out. They somehow, and they'll never admit to it, obviously, but I've never seen this guy who has killed every single team for 40 years, like you said, held press conference. Something was in the water last year where I think the owners did something. They'll never admit to it, but good for them. Finally, but you know that he's going for blood, like you said. This is the biggest contract.
I think he wants to make up for last year so bad.
Yep.
And it's not like he can take an L. I mean, it's not like he can get a loss here. Let's be honest. Even if he's, let's say Soto tells him, listen, I want to be a Yankee, and I know they're offering $50, $60 million less than the Mets. I don't care. I want to be a Yankee. It's still going to be bare minimum, $650, $680. Like, that's the floor of what I think this contract's going to be. So signing someone to a $650, $680 million contract really isn't a loss. But when it comes out, well, the Mets were offering $725, he's not going to like that.
Yeah. And then last but not least, you know, I know you got to sleep. You got the kids. Do yourself a favor. I do it all the time. Sleep when you're dead, okay?
You do
There's
it all no the time?
I don't sleep. I try not to sleep. I think sleep is, we're going to sleep when we're dead. My point is this. I, when I'm tired, I lay down, I'm done. But I think if you could pull it off, if you could do everything you need to do and then keep going. I drove 16 straight hours when I drove my boy to Alabama. It's all in your brain. You could do it, bro. You could do it.
Yeah, listen, I could do it. I have done it. And I've driven the entire trip down to Florida in one shot, 21 hours, without sleeping and just staying in the car and driving the entire way. I mean, we stopped for meals and everything. But no, I mean, I could do it. I wouldn't be as coherent as I'd like to be. There's plenty of flubs. Listen, in the 4 o'clock hour, I occasionally make the flub because I'm telling you, I don't sleep much. And it's not necessarily, it's just because afternoon sleeping, something up with the kids, you know, doing something, have to do something, have to call somebody, have to take the car somewhere, have to drive my mother somewhere, have to do something. Like, there's just, this one has a doctor's appointment, the school nurse just called and woke me up. And that's the one thing about, I don't know why, and maybe this is because of the light of the day. I have no problem falling asleep. Not that we're going to spend too much time on my sleep schedule. I don't have too much trouble falling asleep at all. But if something wakes me up, a phone call, a slammed door, whatever, an alarm going off on a car outside, like if something wakes me up, and especially like after like 12 p.m. or 11:30 a.m., like somewhere around there, it's very difficult for me to go back to sleep. Where if something wakes you up at 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning of a normal sleep schedule, like I had no problem. Something woke me up. What was that? You hear that? What was that? Go back to bed, Chris.
Oh, okay.
And then I would just lay back down and fall back to sleep. Never had a problem getting it. I would wake up, go to the bathroom, get back to bed, fall asleep. Now, if I wake up because I have to go to the bathroom, I'm just staring at the ceiling for the next 2.5 hours. That's one of the things I've noticed about this sleep schedule, where if I wake up for whatever reason, it's much more difficult to go back to sleep than it was when I was sleeping the traditional night, early morning hours. But I'm sure you're not that all fascinated with that. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve? Hold on. Steve, what the hell's going on here? Steve, there you go. What's up, Steve?
I think you need a little sleep.
I think I need a little. I can't push the button, Steve.
All right. So I think Boris has been exposed here a little bit, and not that this was any big secret, but this whole thing could be avoided with a simple phone call to the team beforehand.
Yeah.
Of discussing things and seeing where the team was, seeing what was up. I read a report 2 days ago that Boris, and this is typical Boris, that Boris had an offer out there for 5 years and $200 million. Well, where was that offer if he's, right. if he's coming back?
Well, here's the only thing I'll say. Here's the only that offer might have been there, and Cole said, "I'm not leaving the Yankees."
Well, then this is what I'm saying, though. Talk to your client and talk to the team before you have this kind of embarrassment. I'm sure there's a lot of GMs that are going to, be having a field day over, this going the way it did, and they're going to be, celebrating over it.
Well, Cashman certainly gets the win. I know Yankee fans might not want to hear that, but Cashman gets the win today, that's for sure.
Oh, no, this is a clear huge win for him.
Yeah.
And Boris loves to play the game of chicken, loves to play the mystery team.
I think that was it. I think it was as simple as this. I understand he gets a little embarrassed today. He's going to sign the biggest contract in history in a few weeks. But yes, I think it went as strictly as this. Cole said, "Look, I want to be a Yankee." And he said, "Look, we'll opt out. And I think that if we force them to give you the extra year, we'll give it to you. But worst case scenario, we'll stay with the Yankees, I promise you." And when the Yankees didn't budge, he said, "Okay, we'll stick with you." Like, I just think that's what happened. I think Boris just said, what's the harm? Worst case scenario, you stay the harm would have been the Yankees viewed it as an opportunity to just get out from under the contract, which I don't think, I'm sure he did talk to the team on some level about that. But I think it was like, no harm, no foul. We'll opt out. If you get the extra year, great. If not, I'm sure they'll bring you back on the same terms. But
that's one way to look at it. But the other way of looking at it is what everyone's been saying, and you and I discussed it, and I've been hearing it on the radio. I've got an elbow injury. I'm 34 going on 35 years old.
Yeah.
I don't think the money's out there for me, which is what everybody was saying.
Yeah.
Although there were a lot of people who were saying, "Oh no, he's a bargain at this price. Oh no, he'll get the money." And it turns out that they might have made a financial decision saying, "We don't want to have to come back to the Yankees at a discount and really look bad. So let's just look a little bad now."
Right.
But if it was anyone else, I would chalk it up to a clerical error. But because it's Scott Boras.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a clerical error.
Because this is Scott Boras, and he has a history with the mystery teams and blowing smoke and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I think he just comes right off with egg on his face.
I think my honest opinion on this, and he does come through with a little egg on his face. I think there's a chance they could have gotten the contract, either this or more. I do think he's been that durable. I know he's 34 years old. We've seen older pitchers less durable than him get mega, mega bucks.
Which wound up being very bad contracts. Remember the last contract negotiation?
Snell and
Cole took the Yankees for every penny he can get. Well, why wouldn't he do the same thing this time?
Well, because I don't, because it's different. He is different in a different situation. He's not going to get every bit of penny, and I don't think he's going to get a lot more money. I don't think he would have gotten I think the 5-year, $200 million deal probably wasn't there. But I think you could just chalk this up to as simple as this. Scott, I want to be a Yankee. If we can get that extra year, great. Like, if you think we can opt out and that they'll do it, fine. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be a Yankee. Like, I think that's pretty much what happened. And he was like, worst comes to worst, we'll just go back to them. And I think probably they had some sort of idea that was the case, but I just think that it was like, hey, what's the worst that could happen? If they say no, then they say no. And I think from the beginning, there was no interest in going out into the market, and Cole probably maybe even called the Yankees himself and said, listen, let's just pretend I didn't opt out. Like, I'll take the same money, I'm good. And I think they knew that the Yankees couldn't afford to treat this as an opportunity. And then even if, because then probably Cole doesn't want to embarrass the Yankees and go negotiate and everything. Like, it felt like, hey, maybe this is a way to get one more year with the Yankees. I would love to get that fifth year with the Yankees. I want to be here. Let's see if they say yes. If not, I'm staying. And it does look bad for Cole, it does look bad for Boris, but it's not that bad. It's not like he cost his player money here. That would have looked bad for Boris if the Yankees just said, forget it, hit free agency, and then he signs a 3-year, $100 million deal. Then you're like, oh, geez. Then it's really bad. Rob in Brooklyn. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Fan. Thank you.
All right. Hey, I'm driving to work right now. But I gotta say this. You're blaming Scott, but what about Gerrit Cole? The agent works for him.
Yeah.
So why can't it be a loss of Gerrit Cole? We're treating Gerrit Cole like he's a homegrown Yankee. He's still a mercenary. So I feel like you guys are defending Gerrit Cole.
Well, Gerrit Cole didn't lose any money.
Yes, but he went out there and the agent works for him.
Yes.
So Gerrit Cole could have been like, hey, listen, I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm a true Yankee. I wanted to be a Yankee as a kid to get this picture out of me in the World Series or whatever when I was a little kid.
Right.
I don't want to embarrass myself. So now, why you got to be Boris? What about calling Gerrit Cole for what he did? It's his fault, too.
What did he do?
He opted out.
Yeah, he opted out in hopes of getting one more year with the New York Yankees. And once the Yankees said no, he said, forget it.
I get it, but it's like you're saying it's a loss of Boris. But we should be calling out Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, but there's a difference here. There's a difference here. It's not a loss for Gerrit Cole. Like, Gerrit Cole isn't the super agent who just came off that miserable offseason last year not being able to get a client a thing. Like, Gerrit Cole is just the player. Yes, the agent works for him, but Gerrit Cole got what he wanted. Gerrit Cole wanted to be a Yankee. This was kind of like, hey, let's see what they do. And listen, if he would have opted out and the Yankees said goodbye, then Gerrit Cole would be right there with Boris and taking the L. This looks like Cole actually comes off as a guy who didn't want to test free agency, because anytime you test free agency, you don't know. Like, would you have been shocked if Cole got the same amount of money or Cole got a 5-year deal? He is a Cy Young Award winner who just pitched 12 innings in the World Series and gave up one run and threw on his 106th pitch 98 miles an hour. I know he's coming off an elbow injury, but he's as durable a starting pitcher as the game has. I know he's 34. I don't know what contract he would have got. I'm not telling you he absolutely would have gotten it, but he might have. Gerrit Cole looks like a guy who wanted to stay a Yankee and who played the game, lost the game, but ended up being a Yankee. So does he take an L in this? Maybe, some way, but ultimately, it's as if he never opted out. Boris takes the L because Boris is the super agent. It's an agent transaction. Cashman looked at, Boris in the face and said no, and then they said yes. Like, if you want to be mad at Cole for this, go ahead and be mad at him. I'm not mad at him. He tried to be a Yankee for another year. Like, that's the other thing. Like, if Yankee fans, like, if you're worried about, it looks bad to Yankee fans that he was willing to opt out and play the game with the Yankees, he wanted one more year with the Yankees. Like, that's why he opted out. He opted out in hopes of one more year with the New York Yankees. And when he didn't get it, he didn't test free agency. He said, whatever, let's bring me back for the same amount of money, I'm good. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, stop complaining about your sleep schedule. No one cares. At least I don't anyway. That's
a fair point.
Chris, you've been a Giants fan for your whole life?
I suppose so.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my whole life before, you know, when I was 3 months, I don't remember rooting for the Giants. But yes, I've been as far as I've liked football, I've been a Giants fan.
Okay. Do you watch a lot of the games or no?
No, not really.
All right. I mean, you don't have to overthink all this, but.
Well, I'm saying you're asking stupid questions, Brett. You're asking dummy questions.
I'm asking you direct questions. Do I watch the games, Brett?
Yes, I watch.
You said you watch every Yankee game. When I asked you that a few months back, I was impressed. You said I watch every. So I'm asking
football,
you about the Giants.
You know,
why is that stupid?
Because you know football is different. What I do for a living, Brett. You're trying to be condescending. Don't act like you're not. It's okay.
I'm not. I'm not.
You know you're. Yes. Okay. You're really curious if I don't watch the Giants. Games. Come on now.
So, all right, then here's my point. Okay, yes. The Giants, the past 5 out of 6 years have been bad, mm-hmm. and you're not wrong, right? By Halloween, it's over, correct? All right, that's factual.
Yes.
They're winning 4 or 5 games every year. You want them to tank. I got you. For reasons, we got it. Daniel Jones, okay, say you put DeVito in, you lose the 49ers. Be honest again. So you still watch the rest of the year now, right, in tank mode. You're at the TV, you got your food, maybe some friends, your family, and you're rooting for the Giants to lose. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I can't comprehend that at all.
Well,
the
I'm
Giants
sorry,
have lost by a field goal, 5 points, 6 points. They at least falsely believe they can win. And I'm watching the product, and mm-hmm. it's close, and we get out-coached every game. Mm-hmm. But I get it. We blame one guy. That's fine. We give it the whole narrative.
Yeah.
But, like, wow, some of these other coaches are winning somehow. They're doing reverses and bad.
Right.
They figure ways out. The good coaches win.
Yeah, that's fine.
Our coach goes for two. But my point is, so that's you? Is that the
yes.
truth?
You
because watch you
can't,
every week. I'd love to see you on a live
see,
what you're doing.
You can't see. Listen. I admitted yesterday, are there times where I'll be frustrated with a bad play and get, like, annoyed because the inner Giant fan in me comes through even though I know what's best for the team? That's the problem, Brett. You can't see the forest through the trees, and that's okay. I understand a lot of people can't. I'm not getting on you for it. You want to call up and get on me? That's fine. I'm not going to get on you. I get it. You want to watch your team and you want to watch them win? That's fine. I want them to be a successful team. I don't care about wins that make them 3-7. You might get hung up on the idea that friends come over and family come over. Like, I watch the Giant game, and then I move on to the other game. I watch the games because I'm a fan. I watch the games because I have to. I watch the games because I enjoy watching football, and I am a Giant fan. I want to watch them play, but I want them to be better. I don't want meaningless victories. I want them to be a team that can contend over the next 10 years. I want them to be a team that can contend with the Commanders and their new young franchise quarterback. I want them to be a team that can contend with the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't want to be a doormat to the division and then be like, wow, what a great win in December against the Raiders. Woohoo! At least me and my family were here to see it. Like, it's been going on too long. I don't care about that. You're right. In the moment, while I'm watching the game, will the inner Giant fan in me come out and I'll be annoyed at a bad play, or I'll catch myself cheering at a touchdown? Sure, that might happen. But I know exactly what needs to happen. I know what needs to happen. And I certainly, the minute the game is over and they win, I'll be disappointed because it's not what's in the best decision of the franchise. The franchise needs these losses. And that sucks. I want to change the rules, Brett, so I don't have to feel like this. Change the rules. Institute a lottery so I don't have to feel this way. But I know what's best for the team, and it's certainly not going 3-7 in a meaningless win in Germany against the Carolina Panthers when I can set myself up, because I don't know what you feel, Brett, but I know you want to watch Tommy DeVito beat the Green Bay Packers and beat the New England Patriots. I want to see them draft Drake May. I want to see them draft a quarterback that changes this franchise. Would you trade those victories now for losses? Like, going back, like, looking at it now, would you trade those victories for Jaden Daniels? Or are those victories, and the next time you call, I got to ask you if you remember any of those big-time plays from the Green Bay game or the New England game, fun moments with you and your family sitting around the TV, enjoying being Giant fans and eating wings and being happy that they won a game to go 4-12. Those great moments, those family-building moments with your children, family, and friends. Things you'll never forget for the rest of your life. Are we serious? Because I would trade every single one of those wins to have Jaden Daniels be my quarterback. I would trade every one of those wins to see what Drake May could be instead of another year of being 2-7. But hey, do you. Let's celebrate mediocrity. Let's try and get every single win because, hey, I'm a Giant fan, and when I turn on the TV, I can't root against my team. I get you, but that doesn't change what's better for the team, and you should be able to recognize.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
That even if you can't change your habits on Sunday.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 440. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I just don't understand. You know, again, you want to gather the family around? I get it. Don't have a dead season. That's on the Giants, man. It's not on me. How could anyone get up for a game? You're gonna, hey guys, come on over. Giant, big Giant game this week. They're 2-7. The idea of rallying the fan, like you go to the tailgates, you go to the game, sure. You don't want to see them lose. I understand that, but and you almost have an obligation to cheer them when they do well and boo when they don't do well when you go to the games. But we all know what benefits them. 888-808-1019. Anthony in Bradley Beach. What's up, Anthony?
Thanks very much for being so kind to the prior caller.
I'm kind to everybody.
No, you are. You are.
With Brett, though, I feel like if I take Brett and I get mad at the condescension, then why do I even take the call? Like, I have to do it. Otherwise, I have to stop taking his phone call. It's one or the other.
No. You're, listen to me. It's great. You did it. Just want to make three points, maybe. It's about the Yankees and the fifth inning.
Okay.
I just want to make a point, number one. Chaz Chisholm made a horrible play in that fifth inning, and he has not been a good, consistent, deliverable player for the Yankees. Okay, so that's number one. We have Cabrera, who had done really, really well early in the season, and Boone refused to put this guy in and develop him as a player. So that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, with respect to what Cole did or did not do, can I redirect you to Rizzo? Rizzo suffered a concussion, and when you had a play like that, usually both the pitcher and the first baseman run to the base to see who gets there first. Rizzo stood there like a deer in the headlights and went blue. Okay, he just looked and didn't know what to do. He's a professional baseball player. He should have run to first base, but I think he really has issues still with the concussion. And third of all, of course, Judge did make a mistake on that bloop ball out to the outfield, and that's disappointing. So that's the only things that I wanted to mention.
Well, I mean, yeah, let's go through them real quick, one at a time. One. Oswaldo Cabrera has been with this team for a while. I know he played well with them for a stretch. If you look at his overall numbers, they were okay. Jazz is the more dangerous hitter. They traded for Jazz. He had two home runs in the postseason. Jazz is, you know, their guy. He's been making strides defensively. He's capable of the unbelievable play, and then he's capable of messing up on the easier plays. That is not an easy catch on a ball spiked in the dirt with a runner sliding into you at that moment. Could he have made it? Does a better third baseman make it? Sure. Absolutely. They've gone offense there. Jazz is their guy. He's going to be their guy moving forward. He's much more talented than Oswaldo Cabrera. I have no problem with Jazz playing. He could have made that play. That's when we talk about them defensively, that's why I push back on culture making them poorly defensively sometimes. I just say they chose offense over defense at third base. They're not good defensively at third base. He's playing out of position. That's on Cashman. That's on the team, no doubt. But is it culture or is it an inexperienced third baseman? And then as far as Rizzo, again, we don't have to go over this. He had to stay back to make sure he fielded the ball. And once he did that, he didn't think he could get to first base. I don't think he stood there like a deer in headlights, not knowing what to do. He had to wait because of the spin on that ball. He had to wait. And once he decided that once he realized he had to wait for that ball, he didn't think he could make it to first and was looking to make the toss. I'm not saying it's a good play. He shouldn't have insinuated. He should have tried to make the play, even if he didn't think he could. But the bottom line is Cole needs to be there. I don't know if they would have made the play or not. But the inning isn't as bad. It doesn't feel as bad if Cole goes to first base and Betts just beats it out. If Betts earns it and they try to make the play and Cole is there, but they just can't make the play in time and Betts beats it, it's not as bad as just Cole standing there and nobody at first base. That adds to it. That, oh my God, we screwed up this badly. It's one thing if he beats out an infield single. It happens all the time. Ball was a squibber, weird play, first baseman had to hold, Cole didn't get there in time, Betts runs really well, you'll live with it. But just nobody going to the bag makes it much worse. And it's on Rizzo, but not entirely. Cole's got to be there. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I got a question for you, which I'm going to relate to the conversation. Did you ever see the third Men in Black movie?
The third Men in Black movie, when he goes back in time with James Brolin? I can't give it to you as well as I possibly could, but yes, I think I've seen it.
Okay, well, he spends a lot of the movie trying to figure out what happened to Kay to make him so gruff. In his later years,
yes,
right. So
you think it was phone calls from Brett over his life?
Yeah, exactly. I want to know what happened to Brett in previously to make him so darn angry.
I don't know.
Right? I mean, seriously, it's amazing.
I'm worried.
Stop
that it's going to be me.
Brett.
I'm more worried about me. I'm worried in my 60s, my grandkids are going to be like, why is Grandpa always grumpy all the time? And my wife will be like, well, he used to talk to this guy Brett in Long Island every night. And that might be it.
Well, and we will listen to Brett in Long Island every night. I mean, you know, look, if you want to equate it to how I see it, you know, being a Jet fan, I mean, we could relate to this conversation.
Oh,
exactly.
Absolutely,
look
Jets
at
can,
what
yeah.
that win against the Rams. Look what that did to us. We, you know, Zach Wilson instead of Trevor Lawrence. Now, who's to say?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence unfortunately, yeah, I know that's the problem, Eric. And thank you for the call. I got a break. Unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence has not been very good. He's been very, very disappointing. He's had moments. It looked like he was on his way. Last year, I mean, this time last year, they were finishing up, what was it, three straight games in London. They were the one seed in the AFC. They looked like they were on their way, clearly, to winning that division and being a legitimate threat in the AFC. And then they fell apart, and they have never picked it up since. He's been awful. They gave him a contract they didn't have to give him, and it's a disaster. But he's still better than Zach Wilson, and you're right. We've been in this situation before. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be that difficult for me. If that game in Germany goes to the Panthers, and say the Giants are losing late, down three, down two, down one, whatever, and the Giants pull off some like late touchdown or a pick six or a recovered fumble, it's not going to be very difficult for me to go, oh, they can't even lose right. That's going to be my reaction.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:52. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Another few minutes for the warm-up show. And the rest of your day on this election day. Again, in case I don't get a chance to say it before the show ends, go out there. Make sure you vote. I'll be running out. I'm going to have to take the kids with me, of course, because there's no school. So they'll be home, so I have to take the kids with me to go vote. Show them what it's about on this election day. Whatever your leaning is, whatever your viewpoint is, whoever you have made up your mind on, just go out there and vote. It's important. It's what we do as Americans. It's a very important day, obviously a very important election. So go out there and vote on this election day. Make sure your voice is heard. Much like Andrew in Brooklyn is about to have his voice heard. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
C-Mac, man, really appreciate you getting a Knicks call in, man. Appreciate
it's
a little
early
man.
It's early in the season. And so I'm not trying to say we can't talk Knicks. We can talk Knicks. If you feel like right. We haven't talked Knicks yet, I understand. Yankees were in the World Series. Giants and Jets are falling apart or trying to start something. And we haven't had a chance to really get into the Knicks yet. But an inconsistent start from the Knicks. Like they're still finding themselves kind of this new roster.
And that's the thing. It's a new roster. They say the league, the NBA, doesn't really start till December. But right. There is a concern I do have. Sure. I'm not upset. You know, they got to figure things out. You know, but my thing is, I feel like in the offseason, and you're pretty much building the team to beat the Celtics. Stars win championships. I get it. So you have to figure this out. But there's no bench, man. Like, they're going to have to play these guys, their top four guys. They're going to have to play in 35 minutes plus a game.
Well, you're waiting for Achiuwa to come back, and you need offensive production from Deuce
really?
who's 0 for 9 in this game. I mean, you're hoping that's not going to be the case. McBride was really bad. He's 0 for 9, 0 for 5 from three-point land. Sims isn't. How many rebounds did he blow in this game? He's not the guy. And you're waiting for Mitchell Robinson to come back. You're waiting for
that's next year.
Right. That's not until January or February. All right. We'll see if ever. But you're not wrong. You're not wrong. The bench is an issue right now. And if McBride comes in, you get 3 points from the bench in this game, and you have to play. It's game six. And already Bridges is playing 40 minutes, Anunoby's playing 40 minutes, Brunson's playing 42 minutes. I think all three of them played every minute of the second half. I mean, Tibbs at some point, especially early on in the season, you might just have to let these guys run a little bit and, you know, let Kolak play a little bit more than 6 minutes in this game.
I
know if you watch, he's terrible defensively. And you're hoping he can get better defensively, but you want to see him try and get into the swing of the offense a little bit. The bench particularly last night was awful. 3 points, McBride 0 for 9, and Sims just – and they're both – what's funny is Sims, just looking at the numbers right now, I would never have guessed this. Sims is a plus 14 in the game and McBride's a plus 10. I mean, that is –
that's a wish.
That is – I mean, watching the game, I would not have guessed that, especially 0 for 9 for McBride. Right. But and thank you for the call, Andrew. It's early, and you knew they were going to struggle to find their way. Bridges is struggling to find his way. 6 for 14 from the field, 3 for 8 from 3-point land. Anunoby with 21 points in this game was kind of the best player on the floor for a lot of it. It's too early to really get into what the issues of this team are, but sure, the bench right now without Achiuwa, without Mitchell Robinson, and if McBride's going to come in and give you an 0 for 9 performance, it's going to be a problem. The bench scored 3 points last night. That's an issue. And you run into a Rockets team that's off to a decent enough start, a young Rockets team that's got a bunch of wings that keep coming at you, and the ability to score and the ability to defend the three-point line. And, you know, the Knicks weren't good enough last night. They were down 15 at one point. But, again, a little too early to dissect all of their problems. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Chris, Daniel Jones
should
have given some money to Saquon Barkley. Not for the good of the team. Not for the good of the Giants. but be for the good of Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley made Daniel Jones look better and play better. It would have let him stay in the league a lot longer. He'll be out of the league next year.
Well,
this guy is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. He wasn't actually that bad last week, believe it or not, on Sunday. And I thought early on Malik Nabers made him look better than even Saquon Barkley did. But again, Saquon Barkley's a great player. He wasn't helping here. You want to say he was helping the quarterback? The quarterback has been awful since he's been here. It's not like this changed. Saquon Barkley was here in all of his starts last year. What happened? Like, it's not like, oh, he was great with Saquon and now they really blew it. He's been bad the whole time, or at least not good. He doesn't elevate anybody else's game. Like, he doesn't. And you watch, like, simple things. Like last week against the Steelers, not moving the tight end over. Like, those are mistakes that can't happen year 7 or year 6. Like, it just can't happen. He doesn't help his offensive line. He doesn't help his receivers. He doesn't help his run game. He doesn't help anything. The best you could say is every once in a while, he's not awful. Like, that's just not good enough. It's not good enough. Bernadette in Oceanside. What's up, Bernadette?
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you on this Tuesday morning?
I am very bummed out. I am missing my Yankees. I cannot believe the things I threw at my television. Thank God I have Beanie Babies for when my children were little, because they were being hurled all around my living room.
Yeah,
I couldn't even sit on my couch.
I know.
And watch what was going on in front of me.
A lot of my friends get on me. They're like, live streaming these games while you're watching them. And I'm like, I don't know if I can, because honestly, I wouldn't want anybody to see how I behaved during that inning. It was as difficult an inning. Like, I have a little bit of, I don't know if you know Frank the Tank, but I have a little bit of that in me where I don't bite down on things necessarily, but I have these, like, I tug on my shirt. It manifests in an ugly way for me. And that inning was honestly the worst 15 minutes of my sport fandom life. I couldn't take it. I was just beside myself. It was so impossible watching them self-destruct like that. And thank you for the call, Bernadette. I appreciate it. It's one thing to get beat. I mean, it's just one thing to get beat. Freddie Freeman hit that grand slam in game 1. I was upset, but I sat back down in my chair and was disappointed. And I know that that was the final game, and if they lost, they would lose the series in game 5. But it was more about the self-inflicted wounds. I'll take the walk-off grand slam. I can't take not covering first base. You know, it's just hideous. But that doesn't mean I'm going to let Joe Kelly stomp all over my grave and thank him for it. That's it for me. I'll catch you midnight tomorrow for a 5-hour midnight ride, a couple in a row. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleeks, thank you on the other side. The warm-up show is next. Enjoy the rest of your day. Go vote. I'm out of here.
Radio 101.9 FM.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.